Welcome back to another episode of the Balcony Chatter Podcast. I am your host, Andrew McKenney, with my co-host, as always, Tim Taylor.
Yes, sir.
We were off last week.
My accent this week is sounding like dog shit.
It's so. Just being sick.
Five weeks later.
Oh, God. So we were off last week because I was doing a bunch of traveling, and we both had a lot of stuff going on. Kind of hectic week. But we are back.
We got to hang out.
And we did, and that was my next comment was, usually we don't miss an opportunity to record together, but with busy everything was, it was just good to hang and just chill. And
we were also a little turned off.
Yeah, we have a lot to probably complain about on this episode, and we will get into it. But I don't even really know where to begin. With us being off for a week, we could talk a little bit about the All-Star game.
Let's start there. We'll go chronological.
Yeah, so let's do that. So Jeremy Swayman, David Pastrnak, Jim Montgomery all went to the All-Star weekend in Toronto. There was a lot of weird stuff going on up there. A lot of celebrities, a lot of, like, I don't know, man. It was cool. All right. Let's start with the skills competition, because I thought it was a lot better this year than it was the year before.
I thoroughly enjoy the skills.
Yeah,
I really do. From speed skating to, like, you know, like the accurate shooting thing they kind of do with the 3 points and 4 points slats.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed all of it. Yeah, it's funny to watch the slap shots, though, because it's like no one can even sniff Zdeno Chara.
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right, this one's like not as fun. That one feels like the dunk contest in a way. It's like the coolest dunks have been done. Maybe you'll watch it again.
Yeah.
But it's a little different because it's like I'll tune back into that when someone's getting up to above 105.
Yeah. I like that they added the incentive of $1 million because it made some people seem like they actually cared and actually wanted to try. But I don't know if you caught Kucherov in the All-Star game at all, or in the All-Star skills competition at all. But
I had it on at work. I mean, maybe.
I mean, he literally couldn't have acted like he cared any less. Like, he was out there coasting, wasn't trying. Like, it was so obvious that, I don't know how the truth to it, but there was rumors that they were threatening to suspend him or at least, like, fine him or something because he was that blatantly like, I don't care about this at all. Obviously, we're past the All-Star weekend at this point, and that hasn't happened, so it's not. But, I mean, it was just kind of embarrassing. It's like, if you don't want to be there, that's one thing, and you know, you got selected, and that kind of sucks for you. But, you know, you can't go in there and, like, phone it in.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Especially when you're the, I don't know for a fact, but I believe he was the only one representing his team. So it's not like, it's kind of a bad look on Tampa if he's out there and he's just like not caring at all.
Yeah, I just feel like there's someone else on Tampa you could have brought in. There was to me, it was such an odd number of people involved in each of the competitions that I feel like dropping him wouldn't have turned that many heads at a national level.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, and could you really not tell he gave a shit until the moment he was on ice? I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
You know, like, there was some signs, and I think you ultimately can't suspend him because it feels like this was a bit preventable from your end.
Yeah.
As the league. Can I say one thing?
Yeah, sure.
We can stop insisting that every team has to send a guy. There's that too. And I'm not saying Kucherov wouldn't make that anyway.
Yeah, right.
But this is the participation trophy of all-star things across all sports. And I like what hockey does. I don't like what's going to happen next year. I don't want to get into that. We'll save that for a whole other episode.
Oh, yeah.
I like the four teams. I love the skills competition. I'm enjoying it. This is the pitfalls of that shit. You have a guy who doesn't care. He doesn't want to go. He'd rather be in Mexico, probably.
Yeah.
He would have enjoyed to not be in the freezing cold Toronto as a guy who spends half of his year in Tampa anyway during the winter,
right,
which is not a terrible place to be in terms of weather. I think cut the shit out. I mean, and granted, the whole thing's going away, but the whole we got to get a representative from each team is just this isn't an expansion draft,
and it's a popularity contest anyway, just like every basketball sport. Too. But
and we're gonna get into basketball here.
But there's four or five people from Toronto on the team because it's in Toronto. You know, to be fair, they have very talented players. Like there's no argument there. Like those guys made the team are all stars anyway.
They're stacked. It'll make them losing the second round even tighter.
Yeah, if they make it that far.
I would love for them not to.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was fun. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch the All-Star game or the day of the All-Star game.
The games.
But I watched all the highlights. I saw Pasta scoring on Swayman. That was fun to watch. And Team Montgomery winning. So you kind of got the best of all of it. You got to see Swayman make his All-Star appearance. You got to see Pasta score on him in a game. You got to see Montgomery win. So it was kind of fun all around, and it was cool that they were all on different teams, because obviously he coaches them all year long, and it was just kind of cool to see him be able to go up against them, which again, these games mean nothing really, but it's got to be fun for them. He looked like he was having a blast. Montgomery was psyched to have won that. He's on the bench with Bieber, fist bump, hugging him. It was just great. Him and his son, it was just an awesome thing, because you know, this is 2 years in a row now that he's been a coach at the All-Star game. And, you know, before he came to Boston, there was question of whether he would ever get any job in the NHL again. And then he won head coach of the year. He's made the All-Star game 2 years in a row. This guy clearly is really taking his opportunity to heart and really taking his opportunity like a true opportunity. And he has proven why he is a great coach. And He seems to have learned from his mistakes in the past, and he just seems like a great guy. So I'm happy for him, and that's super fun.
You know, if there was only one team that was going to give him a second shot, I'm so happy it was the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's more impressive this year than last. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's more impressive for him to be there with this team than last year's team. Although, you know, we got a lot better at the deadline, so I don't want to take away from last year, but being the number one, you know, being qualifying for that as at that time being the number one team in the league going into All-Star weekend, just there's so much of that that belongs to Jim.
Yeah.
That maybe even we don't, you know, say his name as much as we could on here. But I mean, long live Jim. I'll take the rest of his coaching career, truly. I'm just so impressed with how he was able to, where we sit right now with who we lost is just
especially that's coaching, with our expectation at the beginning of the season of being we might be a bubble team, you know, and to see where we're at now. I do, you know, I have some complaints about him that I've brought up in the past, and it's not even really complaints. It's hard to complain when you're still at the top of the league, you know, but some of the changes, some of the line changes, and some of the...
And the amount of it, and when he does it.
That's my issue, you know? It's my same issue with... My small issues, I guess. And my issue with Missoula. It's
and
don't
I think
call
they're,
a timeout.
You know,
it's small things.
Ultimately, they end up pretty big. I think we both, you know, think he played a pretty significant hand in our exit of the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
But I don't know. In Jim, I trust. I really love what he has for the culture there, and hopefully, to me, it just feels like he's got to think less. it's overthinking. It's five guys shouldn't be playing together for the first time in the playoffs.
Right.
You know, it's stuff like that. That's just it's definitely frustrating, but I don't know. I love him.
Yeah.
I just, you know, but I love him. I think the team is as good as it is because of him this year, but I, you know, we both believe that this offseason is going to cook up some stuff, and if it looks like it's a problem when we have a roster that you and I considered, you know, top three, you know, contender, which I don't think either of us can consider that this year. And we're just kind of playing with house money and enjoying the ride. There's other shoes to drop this offseason with Sweeney. And so I really do feel like we're playing with house money, even if we get really close to the end and really close to getting a cup, because I can't believe we're going to be there. And I believe we're going to be a better team next year. Obviously, the big question mark being the goaltending there. But I believe we're going to have a more stacked roster next year, because really young guys have also – the two things that you can really tout is I guess it's three. It's just like the play of your top three talented players on the team outside of goaltending. Pasternak, the way that Brad Marchand has worn the C,
yeah,
and what he's done statistically to back that up. And then I do think that, Chuck's, it was some boneheaded suspensions and some injuries, but like what he's coming into form as, the leader of the defense has been massive. And then you have the young guys who came in kind of out of nowhere. You got some career resurgence guys, which is, your Vans Riemsdyk, Charlie Coyle's having his best year at 31 years old. Danton Heinen coming back and being significant.
Yeah.
And then it's and then you got a lot of question marks around there too. And you got the young guys, I don't know. We haven't talked about Patra in a long time.
Well, we're not going to be talking about him for a while because he is officially out for 5 months, 6 months.
Sick.
So he's out for the year.
Yeah. Great. But a part of that beginning of the year surgence that came pretty much out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think, my big question mark, which we will obviously get into way down the road here, next year will be if we go and bring in a lot of new guys, you won't know for 20, 30 games how they're going to actually mesh together. Because it's going to be so many new guys fitting in with the good core that we have, which is a very solid foundation, but it's going to be, what is this team going to look like? Who are these new guys that are coming in?
Exactly.
And all of that. And again, goaltending.
How is Montgomery going to manage that?
Yeah.
And, I think if he does get all these new pieces next year and we're worse than these 2 years, then I think you got to kind of have a conversation.
Right.
But I feel like he's growing because the roster got worse and his team stayed the same.
Sure.
I mean, we're a contender for that trophy that neither of us want.
Yeah.
Which,
speaking of, we went into the All-Star break first or tied it for first in the league.
I think it was first. Right?
And then came out and had a couple games here. Lost to Calgary. Pretty ugly loss.
That's when we could have recorded.
Beat Vancouver, the best team in the league, or tied the best record in the league right now.
Shut out Vancouver.
Shut them out. Beat them very convincingly.
With recovering or seeming to be looking pretty recovered, Ullmark in that yes. game, I believe, right?
Yep. Great. He had a great game. And then we threw up another stinker against Washington. I mean, that was the most boring. It might have been the most boring game I've been to this year.
I had to work amid, and I was stoked.
Yeah.
Because it's been slow. And I was like, I got a game on. Because other than that, it's just like NCAA basketball now on Saturdays. And that's really it. Get some primetime NBA, but they won't do it in the middle of the day on the West Coast. There's literally a handful of games this year that I would rather there's an option for the team to just say, we're gonna just take the L.
Yeah.
So no one has to waste their goddamn time with this.
That was rough.
That was one of them. There was another one recently where Brad was the only guy who showed up in a game and we literally almost won because of it, but couldn't. This just felt like no one was there.
Yeah.
Five shots through 35 minutes, eight shots through 40. What is going on?
And the score really doesn't show what it could have been. Swayman was playing outstanding. I mean, it could have been 6-0. I know that we lost, but he still played a great game. There were a couple goals there that there was no chance of him saving. It was just not possible. So I don't fault him for that. He was getting no help. Grizzly got tossed in the first period, I think it was.
Yeah.
So we ended up having to play with five defensemen for the rest of the game.
Discipline.
Yeah, it was just a bad game. And, of course, they give Ovi an empty net goal, which brings him up to, what now, 12 goals this year?
Yeah, man.
Superstar.
That's the crux of my fantasy team, dude.
Yeah.
It's a Badger getting a beat down from Sully Soldiers this weekend. What's up?
He's been quiet, so he must be scared.
He's been quiet. Yeah, he must be scared of how good Porzingis looks in the last four games, too. we'll get to that. The defense. What defense? It's a miracle that he only let in. What was it? He only let in two because it was an empty netter, right?
Was the final 3-0? I don't think so.
Yeah, I blocked
out the rest
of
it.
So he only let in two on my watch there. And unbelievable to only let in two goals when truly no one played defense in front of you and definitely no one tried to give you any sort of cushion.
Yeah.
That game sucked.
Yeah, and they have a lot of games coming up here too in short like time. We're talking Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday. Like this is every other night, and if it's not every other night, it's back to back. So they better figure it out and figure it out quick because you know these games are going to start.
This is the hell stretch. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
They go to the west coast of Canada too. So that's like a long trip. That's a lot of travel and
third west coast trip of the season.
Yeah.
Third. That's a tough year.
Definitely.
Like, would you rather 1-13 stretch or what?
I don't know.
The other big problem with this is that we're in a massive homestand while they're doing all this. None of these games are on the road.
Yeah.
And that's pretty killer. You know, Lightning and the Kraken, just, I don't know. And then the Kings, who seem to have turned it around a bit since firing their head coach. I don't know. That's going to be tough. I hope you have a great week at the Garden.
I'm looking forward to it, but I'm also hoping that they figure it out and turn it around, but
yeah,
it's all right. I don't want to say that we have games to lose because it's not good to like drop a bunch of games at the same time. But what I mean is like we're in a spot where it's not the end of the world for us. You know, we're not in a wild card spot. We're in a spot where we can stumble a little bit, but then figure it out. You know, we can't lose 5 out of 7 because then we're in real trouble. But you know, if this is all they lose and then they lose one of the next 5 games, then you know we're back talking about how well we're playing and we're in good shape. But this week will be very interesting to see, and they have a lot of games coming up, and hopefully that doesn't hurt them too bad. So,
good to see all Mark's feeling better. I hope some defense will show up for those boys.
Yeah. Yeah,
he'll probably get next game too, right? He'll probably have tomorrow night against the Lightning.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
Swayman's dropped both those games. I don't really put any of that on him though.
The Calgary game, he didn't look great, but he also was coming off of the All-Star break.
Everyone looked like asleep.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess I'll correct my statement from earlier. He was the only guy who showed up.
Let's see how he looks on Thursday. We'll go from there.
Yeah.
What else you got on the Bruins here? I'm trying to think if there's anything that we haven't really covered. I mean, we did talk about Grizzlick. He got a $5,000 fine for spearing, which, again, watch the replay and decide for yourself what you think. But I think, I don't know. I think the reason he got the $5,000 fine and not a suspension is because he's not that type of player. I don't think that was an intentional spear. You know, we've seen intentional spears. Ovechkin on Frederick. We've seen Marchand do it before. He's been suspended, you know. But I think that it was he kind of went in to tie up with the other player. And he went to, you know, his stick was aggressive. And I think that whether it was on purpose or not, I'm not going to say that it wasn't. I'm not going to be that homer that's like, there's no way. No way it wasn't on purpose. Like, I don't know. But I think that his reputation of not being a dirty player and not having a previous history is something that helped him in this situation and only got him a $5,000, you know, maximum fine.
I mean, it's clearly retaliatory. He was upset with how he got hit into the boards.
Yeah.
But, I guess at like 5,000, the NHL's like, all right, be smarter than that. Clearly you had a lapse of judgment. I'm sure you're apologetic, whatever.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, let's see how these games go this week into next week. And it's a long stretch. It's a hard stretch coming up. So hope that they can figure it out and get it together because they really need it. And they need some depth scoring down the lineup too. Like we've had a lot of that this year, but they needed to continue, and they need some help from guys other than Pasta instead of just forcing him the puck and turning it over. So
they're going to sweep the next three. What do you think?
God, I hope so. I would love to see
that. You hope so. What do you think, though?
I think, yeah, I do. I think that that's a possibility.
Toughest one's probably tomorrow night. Kings up there, too. Kraken should be just a win at home, although we've let them come in and piss in our Cheerios before. And I don't think the Kraken are as bad as their record is, but they are bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I guess the tough one's tomorrow night. We'll see if Kucherov cares yet.
Yeah, and then the Kings won't be a pushover game. I mean, I don't think anybody expects
that. They're looking a lot better since the coach, which every NHL – I mean, look at Edmonton.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I mean,
look at what the Islanders are forgetting to do.
There's some tough games coming up there too. You got Edmonton next week. You got Vancouver again. You got Calgary, who just stomped you. You know, like these are not easy games.
I hope that one's circled.
Me too.
Oh man, that game sucked.
Yeah, but it was nice to beat Vancouver again, and I can tell you, I would love to see a rematch in the finals.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh man. All right. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
We'll be talking before it's done, but
yeah, for sure.
The next 2 to 3 weeks are, I think you're going to know much more who this team is.
Yeah.
Because right now we see two teams, we see three teams, and you know the third one being the one that doesn't show up, but that's happened a lot.
Yep.
Yeah. All of them can't stay out of the box, so there's that.
Yeah, there's that too, yeah. Speaking of popularity contests, speaking of All-Star games, let's talk about the Celtics a little bit here.
Yeah.
So, who made the All-Star team from the Celtics?
Some guy named Jason Tatum is going to start.
Okay.
And then another guy named Jaylen Brown is going to come off the bench. And dunk in the dunk contest. Which is pretty crazy.
So, do you think that those are the only guys in the Celtics that should be on that team?
I don't. And I'd rather be here to just die on the hill of Derek White is an all-star.
So that
he is.
That's my thing. It's like, I can get over Porzingis not making it because he's been out for some time and this and this.
Sure.
But Derek White has proven that he should be on that team.
Yeah, I guess plus and minus really doesn't matter. In terms of like the popularity aspect, I thought that was supposed to be a bit negged. I don't feel like it is.
No, definitely not.
I don't know. It's an offensive game. It's an offensive world, I guess. It's just Derek White. You could just count on him. He's so crucial. He's just... I'm not pissed because it's just like, yeah, duh.
But to me, though, it's like, you know, you've lost. I don't know if it was ever really there, but you've lost the point of the All-Star game, right? You make the point, and you're right that it's an offensive league. It's an offensive game. I mean, we've been seeing scores of like 150, 160 from teams this year. It's getting ridiculous.
There's been a game that combined for over 300 points.
Right. It's getting insane. But. Like, we're talking all-star, so we're talking about who is the best well-rounded player. In my opinion, if you're asking me what is an all-star player, it's a player that does everything well, or it's a player that is either an extreme offensive threat, like Tatum and these other guys that are going to make the teams, or it's a guy who is all well-rounded that should be there because they're an all-star for their team, you know? And I know that not everybody can make it, and everybody does different stuff for their teams, but like... The prime example is Derek White. It's like he does all the right stuff. He proved why he should be out there. And I just think it's kind of whack that he didn't make it. It's kind of lame.
I think it comes down to points a lot.
Yeah.
I wasn't super surprised with the reserves thing. Or I'm sorry, I wasn't super surprised with the original announcement of the reserves.
Yeah.
But for two injury replacements to come in and neither of them to be him and one of them to be Scottie Barnes. It's just, I just think it's silly. But to me, it comes down to points per game. Both those guys are in the 20s. And I think that's kind of what matters. And I think that's pretty stupid. You know, I think it's just dumbing down your own game, you know?
Yeah.
If you want to say basketball is all about putting that ball in the hoop, sure. I just think that's like a very casual, simple way to look at your own game and value your own stars. You know, Derek's 15 points a game, started off a little slow this year, had a kid. So he's going on like hours of sleep and still doing this year that he's had with a newborn in his house.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know, man. The Trae Young thing, I think, is lame. Trae Young's been pretty lame all year, but I guess his numbers are still there because he shoots 1,000 shots. If efficiency rating doesn't come into play, plus and minus doesn't come into play, it's frustrating. And Scotty Barnes, like, you see, like, the game-winning shot attempt he had, like, the night that they announced?
No.
It, like, hit the shot clock. It's, like, fucking horrible.
Dude.
It's just stupid. But that, I mean, Porzingis, if you want to get into the time thing, fine, but that's the only thing you have against him.
Right.
Good God.
Yeah.
He's had at least 25 points in his last four games with a lot of rebounds and a lot of blocks to go with it and shooting over 50% in all of those.
Dude, I hate to get ahead of myself here, but I'm so excited to watch the playoffs because of him and because of this team.
Yeah, I'm just nervous because that's when hero ball is going to come back into play.
For sure.
It's just like that's when it's really going to matter that they can control themselves and that Mazzulla can say something and that Al Horford can say something and that everyone can just be like, yo, we're losing. Yep. Don't go away from the game plan. Stick to the plan. Move the ball. Another just completely unsung hero to this team, especially of late, is Jrue Holiday.
Yeah, it seems like he's really turned it on.
The guy can drop 30 points in a game. He really could. He could probably average 25 if he was the focal point of the offense. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He just wants to do the part that makes people win.
Which I love.
And it's awesome. And the way they can switch him anywhere on defense, just like they could with Marcus, it's a pretty crazy team. So we haven't talked since the deadline. So we do have two new Celtics on the team.
Yeah, but hold on real quick. I do want to shout out Marcus Smart. That was a great video that they played on his return.
Yes.
Super fun. Like, obviously we all knew that was going to happen, that they were going to play the video and that it's expected and as it should be, but I thought they did a great job with that. And it felt like, you know, unfortunately he wasn't playing, but like it felt like a great way and a great video to kind of honor his time here because it was so important.
I thought they did a fantastic job with it.
Yeah.
I hope it made some Celtics fans realize how much of an impact and how long he was with us and how much he did for this team. And the fact that he made the postseason every season of his career in Boston.
That's pretty wild, considering how long he was here. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of that was before this play-in shit, too.
Yeah.
I hope people just recognize a little more of his impact. My understanding was he was going to get Hero Among Us that night too. I was trying to watch that part of the ceremony. I don't know if I caught it. Maybe he didn't feel comfortable like stepping away from the team and being in center court. But you know, he did so much even for the greater Boston community in his time there. Like after he got traded, he still honored all the people who had signed up for his summer camp and held his camp.
Yeah.
Like the guy, he's just such a class act and a stand up dude. And who knows what's going on in Memphis. They just sold everyone. Maybe they think they can do some stuff in the offseason. Their season's obviously done with Ja Morant injured. But if you look, I encourage you guys to go look at the injury report for any upcoming Memphis Grizzlies games. I'm pretty sure there's like 10 guys on the list. They also literally don't have a center signed on the team now since trading Steven Adams and whatever else they did. They don't have a center. It's the craziest attempt at a tank job I've ever seen. And they'll do fantastic. But also want to shout out Memphis for sending over a guy who I do think can have an impact on this team. Xavier Tillman Sr., 25-year-old, hybrid 3-4, more of a 4. I think he's going to add some really good depth. Clearly, the Celtics had seen enough of Lamar Stevens, which was not very much. in the beginning part of the year. I think Lamar's a good player and can be a significant role player, but clearly it didn't it wasn't clicking here. And then after the 12 o'clock deadline or 3 o'clock deadline struck, the Celtics were able to slide one of Brad's bevy of second round picks for a guy named Jordan Springer out of from Philadelphia, and 21-year-old kid, a lot of promise, 6'4", big defender, had been starting for the beat up Sixers of late. I think this guy's ceiling is pretty wild, and could really end up being a crucial part of this Celtics team. I'm not sure this year, but you know, it's 21 years old, and he looks like an NBA player. I'll tell you that much.
Well, and seems he can
definitely play D.
It seems like Philly fans are not happy that he was let go.
I told my friend Tony to text his friend Daryl Morey and say thank you for sending us. He just said so annoying. I thought it was great. It was a huge pickup for us. I don't get what Philly was doing with that. I'm really confused about what Philly's going to do now. I feel like they're about to rob Williams and Embiid and cut out way too much of his meniscus for a playoff push this year with Tyrese Maxey and Kyle Lowry. And unless you really aren't sure yourself that you can play in the playoffs, because you never have as Joel Embiid, you've never been good in the playoffs. Like, why are you doing this? You could be ruining your career. The odds are so much more stacked against you. This is the worst version of the Sixers, I think, that he's had. And I know Tyrese Maxey came out of nowhere and is absolutely going off and is so good. But like, you've just brought in third star checks notes Kyle Lowry with Tobias Harris still. And I don't know what they're going to do. I'm not worried about them, but that feels like a good year to tank for Philly. And I think they're going to do something really stupid with Joel Embiid. So
we'll see.
Watch out for that.
Anything else on the Celtics you got?
I'd like to beat teams better.
Okay.
The Miami game sucked yesterday to me, to struggle with the butlerless Miami Heat. And
why'd you say it like that? Butler.
Because they didn't have Jimmy Butler. Butlerless.
Because he's butt. Because he's butt.
He's butlerless. No, butlerless. I don't know. Jimmy didn't play. That was my. And we
Butler.
Didn't, butlerless. Also, violent. Violent game. Tatum locking arms with Caleb Martin as he stomps on his foot. And then Jaylen Brown doing something that Duncan Robinson, I've never seen Jaylen Brown really do. Jaylen Brown got pretty mad.
Yeah.
He goes, and he said something in the post game that was like, Duncan knew what he was doing, and I will bet you he won't do it again.
Yeah. Love it.
Like, get out of here, kid from Maine. I get it. You know, we're not a threat up there. Maine, New Hampshire. Shout out to Matt Bonner. I don't know. I want to beat the snot out of a team again soon. Like, I want to win by like 40 again soon. And I feel like that Memphis game wasn't over until the fourth quarter. The starters played for a very, very long time against, you know, an NBA G League roster, a team that would get relegated in the Premier League for the soccer heads who listen to this podcast. Probably four of you. I don't know, beyond me. I don't know. I'm not too happy with how the wins have looked.
One other thing that we haven't talked since, we haven't recorded since, but you have to be frustrated about that Laker game too.
So I didn't know if we'd cover that enough. That was the worst. That is.
No AD, no LeBron.
No problem.
Home, right.
At home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause we were there for Christmas. At AD, no AD, no LeBron, no problem. Beat the shit out of us with Austin Reeves, who's had a year that's like kind of shown that he's maybe severely overrated for like the amount of money and how like every team in the league would want to trade for him.
Dude, they killed us.
He dropped 32 on like, I think he had like seven or more threes. You know, and I follow the rest of the league. Austin Reeves, you know, his like line for getting threes every night is like 1.5, and it's not particularly favored that he'll get the 1.5. Like, I don't know.
Not a good game.
That was horrible game, horrible look. Couldn't fix it. Couldn't turn it around. And again, we're full staffed for that game.
Yeah.
No, that was really bad. And then I think from that, it was that. And then it was not beating Memphis. Like the fact that any of the starters had to play late in the third quarter, or any of the fourth quarter, I think is really like lame and annoying. I know everyone's like sleeper team is the Atlanta Hawks this year for like doing damage in the playoffs. I don't believe they're that good. I think we match up well against them. I hate that game came down to the wire. And I really hate that the Miami game yesterday came down to the wire. I don't know. Again, you can tell me to shut up. I'm complaining about wins, but it's just like these don't feel like they should be close games.
Yeah.
At all, especially Memphis, especially losing to the Lakers. I don't know.
Well, speaking of games yesterday, there was a big game.
Yeah.
And I would assume that you watched the big game.
Right. I did. Hold on, but before we jump into that, okay. I got one or two more basketball things to say.
Okay.
And the first one is shout out to Grant Williams.
Here we go.
Grant, you're clearly so miserable that even crazy Kyrie Irving had enough by the trade deadline. You got yourself shipped out of town. Your play never backed it up. I saw a tweet before he got traded that was like, when you hear your team's looking for a physical three that can shoot, but that's your description.
So
traded to Charlotte.
Did he get drafted by the Celtics?
Yeah.
So he's been on two teams now. He was on the Celtics, and then he went to Dallas,
and he got traded
from both.
We just didn't sign him. I think.
Either way.
No. Yeah, we finally like let the curling rock go, and then they did 4 months of him and said, "Get him out of this fucking city."
Oh, do you want to comment on the shoe thing?
What shoe thing? Oh. He took Luka's off and put Tatum's on.
Yeah.
So dude. My greatest fear is that he's going to get cut from Charlotte. No one's going to take him on waivers. And then we're going to have this idea that it's like, oh, we can get him for like $1 million. Who just, please get ready to learn Chinese, buddy. Like, I don't need this guy in the league anymore. Like, go away. I think he's horrible. I think he's so awkward. I think he's a dick. And I think he's full of himself. And it's just, I think a lot of being a professional athlete is learning how to read a room, learning how to be a teammate,
and not being the younger brother forever.
Yeah, but also not being like, dude. I guess he would like sit down in timeouts and like draw up plays, and it's like, you literally like, did something bonk you on the head? Who are you?
Yeah,
you suck. Dude. You absolutely suck. I think it's so funny. My biggest fear is that he's going to be in Boston, but I think we can't sign him. Well, you shouldn't be able to sign him with his own trade exception.
So we got
a TPE for him. So wait, did we trade him?
I think it was a sign and trade.
It was a sign and trade. That's right. So they can get him. They could get like a better contract for favorable contract for him, which they clearly already regret.
Yeah.
So we have the trade player exception. That's $12.5 million. So in the buyout market, we can't sign anyone who's getting paid more than that at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen a list of who those players are, but I'm hoping for a nice buyout to come through, but this might be the playoff roster. I was told we kind of sat back at the end of the deadline, and because we're going to look into the buyout market, there's some crazy cheap things happening already. Like Spencer Dinwiddie to the Lakers for $1.5 million kind of sucks. But, yeah, I don't know. Just wanted to shout out Grant.
What was your other take? Was that it?
That was that and his exception, I guess, is like, yeah. who the buyout thing. But yeah, that's it. But yeah, anyways, back to the other game yesterday.
So yeah, I don't really care so much about the game because it didn't really end the way I wanted it to end, so we don't have to talk about that part. But I do
it also sucked for three quarters.
I do want to ask you two things about it. One, okay. How did you feel about the Super Bowl halftime show?
Electric.
So
magnificent. I thought it was amazing.
Okay.
I loved it. Now I was listening on a shitty TV, so my understanding is that his live performance wasn't that great, but to us it was just like, oh, we could hear the songs for him, you know?
So my thing was like, it just seems like kind of late. Like Usher should have been at,
I'm sorry, 50-year-old Usher with his saggy big nipples coming out?
No, but he realistically should have been there 10 years ago, at least. Yeah. And it probably would have been more electric. But the people that he brought out made it great. He had some really good cameos.
Don't throw shade at the roller skates, dog. That's what made it great.
That's true. 50-year-old
man on roller skates. Apparently his show in Vegas is on skates.
That's sick. He is totally going to tear his ACL, MCL at some point.
Yeah. Lil Jon being in the crowd.
Hilarious.
Half of America thinking Jermaine Dupri was CeeLo Green.
Dude, did you not at first?
I heard clear enough that I was like, that voice is unmistakable. But no, I mean, before he talked, I was like,
Before they like really zoomed in, I was like, whoa, yeah. Random.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. Did Jermaine Dupri's voice just come out of CeeLo Green? It was kind of the first yeah. Thought, yeah.
Who else? Who else was there? Alicia Keys.
Luda's all time. Alicia is a queen.
Yeah.
Alicia did great.
There's a few others I can't remember, but it was good.
No, I really liked it, yes.
I thought Bieber was going to be there, but...
Well, he was there,
yeah,
but he didn't do anything.
So, okay, let me ask you this. Think about all the people who have done the Super Bowl halftime show. There's been some great ones, obviously. Ones that stick out are like Prince.
Her. I'm sorry. Her came out and shredded. She's awesome.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. There's a drunk guy with us who was like, she's not even really playing guitar. And we all looked at him and we were like, she's a legendary guitar player. Yeah, yeah, she's playing guitar right now.
Yeah. So thinking about who's played and the types of people that play the halftime show, who would you want to see do the halftime show now?
So they asked Taylor originally, was the rumor. And yeah. She was like, LMAO, I don't need this later.
Right.
And which leads me to my tinfoil hat conspiracy theory that the Chiefs were destined to be at the Super Bowl because that way the NFL still wins because they get everyone to watch for her and she doesn't even have to sing a song or say a word on camera. But, you know, chugging a beer for the Jumbotron didn't hurt.
True. True.
It's too bad that wasn't on national television. Big blow to the guys who think that she's the worst thing to happen to the league. Like, I don't know. Oh my God. Yeah.
But do you have anyone that sticks out to you that you're like, oh, that'd be a cool halftime show? Like,
yeah.
And you you don't see a lot of bands doing it.
I loved what happened in LA.
That was fun.
And like, I'd rather it be that.
Yeah.
Like, let's make it like four people you want to see, not like one guy bringing out three people you get a taste of.
Yeah.
Like, but that being said, that's not the rules. So I think he did phenomenal before the game. Our boy Post.
That'd
Post Malone would be a fantastic halftime show.
And he could bring out a lot of cool people, too.
Dude, he could cover so many genres as he does.
Right.
I think Post would be an amazing one. I think you want to talk about, like, I don't know, Usher was definitely like 10 years late, but I think it was kind of like, it's what it is now. Like, I don't think this is like a commodity.
It's in New Orleans next year, by the way.
No one likes it. I mean, if you could go heavy jazz influence down there, get some Leon Bridges and some other people and just do like a jazz halftime show.
Yeah.
Like big band, swing band shit. That would be cool. Like one of the coolest parts of last night was when the horns came in on the field.
Yeah.
And like the drum line. Like that was like, that felt really epic.
I would like to see a band do it. Like I think it would be really cool.
Like Foo Fighters?
Foo Fighters, Metallica. Even someone like, I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't be great for this, but like even the Killers is a pretty cool band that would be.
No, I think huge. I think the Killers are kind of built for that. Yeah. And having seen the Killers live within the last 2 years, I think that would be a really sick show.
Like U2 is sick. That's like a band that is perfect for that, you know?
They've done it though, right? Yes. U2's got one somewhere, right? Yeah. No, I think the Killers would be a good. Killers maybe did it.
Maybe they did, but I don't know. I don't remember.
I still think they'd be great.
We've been to so many Super Bowls that they all start to blur together.
Yeah. truer words never spoken.
There's some cool ones that they could pick. Hopefully
they
pick someone cool.
I really think Post, in terms of a solo act like that, could carry it.
Yeah.
I mean, Cardi B hasn't really put out music since that last album, but she could just do that last album, and I'm not going to say no.
Wouldn't be surprised if it was like a country singer either, though.
In New Orleans?
Just in general, like I don't even.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge country guy, but like Luke Combs would be cool to watch.
Yeah,
I really liked him and Tracy Chapman's little thing at the Grammys.
There's a lot of options.
There's a lot, but I do think that this is a thing. I think that Usher is an act in Vegas.
Yes,
and that's who they had to do this. And I think they asked a ton of people before that who all said no. Not just Taylor Swift. And this thing is so scrutinized and ridiculed. Like, there's only been like three resounding good ones in the last decade, it feels like, in terms of positive public opinion.
Yeah.
And like you get memed to no end. And I think for a lot of these acts that it's like for a guy like Usher, it's like, this is only going to help put you back on the map.
Yeah.
That's why it's 10 years later. That's why it makes sense for him to do this. For someone who's at the top and this could flounder them or tank them or hurt them in any way, it's a horrible decision to do.
Yeah.
I think Post is a little too big now to like be broken. So I think he'd be a like truly a great one.
That'd be fun.
I think he'd be so fun with it. And I think he wouldn't care either way.
No.
Like I think he's fully on to the fact that there's some pretty horrible humans out there. I think he's seen a lot of it, and I think he struggled with it for a long time. And now he also knows there's good people out there. So it's all good with him.
My vote is Post Malone or Adele. Make Adele do it.
I mean, I got to hear whatever this Beyonce country album is, too. Maybe she can do that. I don't know.
And then one last thing.
Dream would be Fleetwood Mac. Go ahead.
The Super Bowl commercials this year, not that many great ones.
No, also didn't feel like that many people tried to be funny.
Definitely that. They played that Temu commercial like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, I saw a really dark meme that I probably shouldn't even bring up, but here we are. It was that when George Bush gets whispered to on the morning of 9/11, and the quote was, "Sir, a third Temu ad has hit the Super Bowl broadcast." It's like, oh my god!
I couldn't when it kept playing. I was like, how much money do they have? Because to me, I've always heard that that's like a scam website, and I don't know. Obviously, that can't be true, right?
Megan has a family member who uses it and says it's great.
Okay, great.
But yeah, I thought it was Wish.
Yeah.
But then they're on the Lakers jerseys at one point. So
right. I don't know.
I don't think that means you're not a scam, but we know one person, and I know her. She's not very nice, and she says I believe the quote was swears by Temu.
Okay, great.
So
she was like hyped every time the commercial came on. She's like, "Let's go,
Temu." She's like holding up like a suitcase or like a cooler. She's like, "This is from Temu."
Look, I know we're homers here and all that, but I really do think that the Dunk Kings commercial was the greatest commercial.
It was, and he's had so many psychotic ones leading up to this, which all, I don't know why that's what I couldn't piece together. But like, there's one where he's like in his thoughts in the studio about what he's going to do. And so this was kind of like him being the finale. Ben Affleck. And this was the finale of that. And I think it, and like, I think the steps along the way were like so psychotic. I was like, what the hell is happening here? Yeah. And they couldn't have nailed the landing better.
It was so funny. And such,
you know, a, when I said I'd do anything for you, this is what I meant.
Such a good cast of characters in it as well.
Down to Jack Harlow, yeah, and Fat Joe sticking his head in the screen. Oh man, no, I thought it didn't miss. Obviously, we're gonna look. No, I don't think so. I think we're the hardest to impress with that shit.
Sure.
Because I think there's a big way that it's just like, oh, cool, Boston's kind of the
place. Yeah, yeah.
And they did it like kind of perfect.
It was such a good commercial. It was funny.
I think they nailed it. I've been enjoying all of them, but it's literally like he's been losing his mind.
Well, I think that people who aren't even from Boston can appreciate how it was actually funny. You know, yeah. Jennifer Lopez being like, no, we talked about this. You're not allowed to do this. Like, playing it up, so funny.
Tom Brady, is he figuring acting out?
Dude, I don't know.
I'll tell you what, I haven't been able to wrap my head around him being a camera personality, and guess what, we're about to have a decade of it. Buckle up, everybody.
I would love to see him as an extra in some movie, but it's the thing is
his Saturday Night Live is one of the worst things that's ever happened to the Patriots organization as a whole, and I think that I think he was pretty damn funny in this. I mean, obviously he didn't have to carry much.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know. It had no one was in that ad that I don't love. You know, I'm a Jack Harlow guy. I think he's, you know, I think he gets it. I think he knows who he is, and I don't think he's, you know, I think he's fully understanding of being the white guy in the crowd. And I thought he was really funny trying to talk Ben Affleck out of this and stuff. I don't know. I never really seen him with chops either, and I thought he was funny and good in it.
He's hilarious in Dave, in the Lil Dicky show too. He's in that. Okay, an episode or two of that. He's great.
No, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So,
R.I.P. R.I.P. Dave. Or hiatus, indefinite hiatus.
Yeah.
Gonna get in trouble with Dickie's PR. We should probably cut this. What
not doing it.
Yeah,
Lil Dicky, if you're listening, we want season 4, by the way.
Thank you for Springer. Ha ha ha, is our favorite video in a while.
Overall let down by the commercials this year. I will say
terrible.
That.
Yeah. Well, I'm so sick of the YouTube era. Like, two of them I liked, I saw a month ago.
Yeah.
Like the one where like the Seahawks and the Eagles are like flying, like it's like their actual like wildlife. Like I saw that, like I'm not even gonna call it the YouTube era. I just saw it already. Like I've seen it on YouTube I don't know. It's YouTube TV, but it's like cable. Like, I don't know.
I saw the Paramount one. That was a great commercial. And I saw that one like 3 weeks before.
I saw that months ago.
Yeah. It was a great commercial, but like,
of course it is.
Save it for the Super Bowl, but I guess not.
Yeah. And you know what? Put Creed back in the halftime show. I don't know.
Shout out to Marvel for finally giving us Deadpool 3, because I'm so excited for that movie and the teaser and the trailer. It just all looks so good.
Okay, but can they put the title somewhere? Like, it's not on. It wasn't in the trailer. It's not on any of the photos. So, like, I guess you just Google Deadpool 3. But so is that? That must just be the title, Deadpool 3.
No, I think it's literally Deadpool and Wolverine.
All right, dude, I don't know what this marketing thing is then. Is that it looks great, but that part's driving me nuts.
Yeah, I think it's actually called Deadpool and Wolverine, but we'll see.
I liked the teaser.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've been excited for that one for a long time, and I'm glad that it's being made. I'm glad that Ryan Reynolds went out of his way to make Hugh Jackman's life hell for years to get him to do one more movie, and who knows what this is doing to this poor dude's health by getting into absolutely ripped shape again. But, you know, anything for a movie, huh?
You know, wait till you hear what he's going to have to do for Les Mis 2. Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know. Yesterday was, I thought Usher was a highlight big time.
Yeah. Definitely.
Usher and Ben Affleck and Ice Spice.
Oh, God. All right. Well, we got a lot of games coming up this week, and we will be back next week to talk about all of them and hope to have better results. When is the All-Star game for NBA, by the way?
End of the month.
All right. So we'll have another episode before that, too.
Yeah.
So,
sorry. Shit. It's this weekend.
Just kidding. We will not.
I'm worried about Jalen dunking. I'm so happy that he's been able to shut up all of America with how he can't go left or whatever, and prove to Celtics and other fans alike that not only is he a, you know, premier player in this league, you know, back to back. I don't know. He's like all-star bunch, going to be an all-star a lot more, in my opinion. And has earned every dollar of his contract. And now it's like, I don't know. What if he can't get a cool dunk in?
We'll see. I'd rather him not get hurt than get a cool dunk, by the way.
Yeah, well, he's participating, so we're kind of screwed there. One guy tore his ACL running on the field yesterday.
Cool. Yeah. Let's keep not talking about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyways, we will be back next week. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you then.
Go Red Sox! We'll see you on Netflix.
Let's go golf. Bring out the whole ocean.
Bring out the whole ocean. Cappuccino. Was it all-